with the score. Chelsea have won 5-0 against West Ham. An incredible performance. I think the match is finished now. Yes, 5-0. What an incredible performance from Chelsea. You know, we absolutely battered West Ham today. Probably one of our best performances of the season. Really, really good performance. Really impressive. You know, we could have scored 6, 7, 8 goals today. Absolutely. And it would have been, it would have been a fair reflection on the game. We created so many chances today. You know, we were clinical. We dominated. We didn't let them have many chances. It was a comprehensive performance. Again, tactically solid from Pochettino. The same system that we've been using the last few games. Cucurella inverting again, being absolutely brilliant in that role. Yeah, fantastic performance. We're now up to 7th in the Premier League. We're ahead of Man United on goal difference. And that goal difference has been really helped today, of course. So we're going to talk about the game today. We're going to talk about, you know, the best players today. We'll probably talk about Pochettino. We're going to talk about Nonny Madueke, Nicholas Jackson. We're going to talk about Cole Palmer, who's added to his incredible season again today with another great performance, and a few other things. So please get ready with your calls, with your feedback, with your thoughts on the game. And it's going to be a really, I think we're going to have a really nice fun hour because Chelsea have won 5-0 and we're 7th in the league now. We've got a good chance of finishing 6th. If we continue this form, we'll probably win all our games. So that's a real positive. We're looking a bit more solid now. That's 2 clean sheets in a row as well. I can't remember the last time that was. Somebody, I'm sure, that will find that for me. But yeah, fantastic. So in terms of the game itself, it was they made a few changes from the game against Spurs. Thiago Silva came into the side for Gilchrist, and Trevor Chalet would move to right back. Other than that, I think it was pretty much the same team. And Kunku, Levi Colwill on the bench, back from injury, which was fantastic. And so, yeah, we started a bit slowly, to be fair. A bit slow to start with. You know, didn't really get into the game for the first 5 or 10 minutes. But, you know, within 15 minutes, we were ahead. Cole Palmer, again, with his 21st Premier League goal this season. It's his 30th goal contribution in the Premier League this season. A really great strike from outside the area, which put us 1-0 up. And after that, we were all well on our way. Conor Gallagher then made it 2 with a fantastic goal. It really was a great move from Chelsea. Conor Gallagher coming in and getting that second goal. Really great strike from him. He's in really good form. And just, we continued to play well. We could have scored. We had a lot of chances. West Ham didn't have a shot on target in the first half. So, that was, that's a sign of how well we played, actually. So that was really good. We continued our dominance. Nonny Madueke then got a goal in the 36th minute, which, from a header, a really good header. He had a really good game as well. He looked really dangerous all game. Really threatening, working hard, pressing, winning tackles, looking dangerous in attack, unselfish as well, as we'll see a bit later. So we went to halftime 3-0 up and could have been more. Conor Gallagher had hit the post. We'd had a few other chances as well. So yeah, we were absolutely in control. And then of course you come out for the second half and you wonder, are Chelsea going to do their second half thing where they come out and, play badly? But we didn't. We came out actually pretty solid. And then, you know, Nicholas Jackson got his first of the day, then with a brilliant, with a great break from Chelsea and a nice little pass back from Nonny Madueke, for him to tap in, for his 15th goal of the season, which is great for a first season at Chelsea. And then, you know, we continued to control the game. We really didn't look in any trouble. They had a few free kicks and a few half chances and hit the post a few times, but really they didn't look that dangerous. They didn't even look they were up for it. And we were just in complete control. We didn't panic. We didn't make any stupid mistakes. Badia Shile was excellent at the back with Thiago Silva. You know, and obviously Treble's excellent at right back again. And Cucurella, again, like he's just getting better with every game, playing this inverted role. He looks so solid. He's waking tackles. He's winning headers. He's pressing well. He's getting in good positions. He's protecting the midfield as well. Really doing a good job. Really excellent performance from him. And then 10 minutes from the end, you know, we've got a nice little through ball to Jackson, and he finishes it. I mean, that's one of the chances that he could have, that he had in the cup semi-final, which he missed. But today he scored. Fair play to him. And that was his 16th goal of the season. So he's matched Didier Drogba's goal tally in his first season at Chelsea. A really good performance from him. His 19th goal contribution, I think, this season, in about 41 games. Really has had a good season, actually, and really impressive. And that was it. You know, West Ham didn't really have any answers. They kind of gave up, really, with 20 minutes to go. Yeah, they weren't great. So, but we played well as well. I mean, I think it has to be said that we played well. And Pochettino got it right again, tactically. The team looked to have a lot more chemistry today. And we played really, really well and deserved that win. And, it's boosted our goal difference a lot and put us into seventh place in the league. And I'll just check the Premier League table now, actually, just to see where we are. Yeah, we're seventh. We're seventh on 54 points. So we're level on points with Manchester United. And we've played a game more than them, but our goal difference is significantly better than theirs. Our goal difference is 11 and theirs is 1. So, you know, Man United have got to play Arsenal. They've got to play Crystal Palace. Neither of those will be easy games. Both kind of informed teams. So there's a good chance we could finish above Manchester United. And, you know, if Newcastle can drop some points in the remaining games and we can win all our games, we could even finish sixth. So lots to play for in the next few games. Really good performance today and lots of good things to talk about. So welcome, everybody. I would love to have more of you up here. We'll get people up here as soon as we can. So I think I want to just talk about a few players first, and then we can bring people up to talk about some of these things. So like one of the players I really want to talk about today is Noni Madueke. He's now got 8 goals and 3 assists in 31 games in all competitions, 5 goals and 2 assists in 20 Premier League games. Today, for me, he was one of our best players. His work ethic was excellent, made a lot of good runs. He looked dangerous in attack. And I think he's really, really improving recently. I think Pochettino's definitely done a lot of work with him and he's getting better. So we're going to talk about him. Nicholas Jackson as well, who I just mentioned. 16 goals and 4 assists in 41 games in all competitions this season, 13 Premier League goals and 4 assists in 32 games. He scored as many as Chelsea's 2 top scorers, Havertz and Sterling, did last season combined. Chelsea have now scored 96 goals this season in all competitions. We scored 50 goals in all competitions last season. So, and the other thing I will want to talk about is Pochettino, because I think he deserves a lot of credit for the turnaround since Arsenal. Tactically and motivationally, like, it's not easy to lift the team after that abysmal performance against Arsenal and that awful result. But he's turned it round. You know, he's got them motivated, he's got them playing as a team, he's got them confident, and tactically he's done some things right. And you can say he should have done this earlier and why hasn't he done it earlier, that's a fair point, and we'll talk about that. But you know, he deserves a lot of chemistry for turning it a lot of credit for turning it round. So I think that's a really good thing. That's an important thing to talk about as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring people up. There's some good people up here. So I'm going to try and bring Frank up if I can. Who's requested to speak? Let's see. Okay, cool. Okay, we've got BTNT. So we're going to bring him up first, and then we'll bring Charbel up after that. So. Thank you, everyone. Do request to come up, Frank. I'd love to hear from you. You normally come up. So, BTNT, what are your thoughts on the game?
Oh, all right, mate. Absolutely fucking ecstatic. Pardon my friend. It's been so long since sort of performance has been that comfortable. I have to say, I have to also say, this West Ham team was incredibly poor as well. Like, as much as we were good, they were also poor. But yeah, I mean, you talk about Madueke, always a threat. Love to see him get on the ball and that. He's also linking up well nicely with Jackson and Palmer and everything. You mentioned Jackson. I think he also had a really good game. Nice to see him get that finish. He seems to be the kind of player, he's growing in confidence a bit more now. He's all around. Oh, so you were saying?
Yeah, it was. I think I was just really pleased. I don't think anyone played badly today. I mean, kind of like, yeah, I mean, I just think Nicholas Jackson does, he's had a lot of criticism this season, you know, for missing chances and things like that.
Well, I think Nicholas Jackson's criticisms have stemmed from the missing chances and at times poor decisions in terms of final third passing the ball or something. But he's been getting better and better over the season. And I think he's an all-around very good player. He can hold up the ball. You know, his link-up play is improving more. I think it was already good beforehand, but I think it's getting better. As you pointed out, the finish there was that through ball. That's something that you maybe earlier in the season, it was something that he would have missed, but he's growing in the striking role. So that's great to see. Nice to see some also of the other players back. It's nice to see Nkunku back. And, also, Levi Colwell and Gusto, these players coming back again. It was just a good game to watch, a very solid performance. I mean, yeah, there was not one player that I thought had a bad game. I mean, sort of, sadly, with Modric at times a bit, it was still a bit drifted in and out of the game at times and lost the ball a few times. But it wasn't a bad game for him, I think. Like, that chance was a good save that won the ball in behind.
Yeah, I think he was unlucky, really, not to score.
Yeah. And also, like, West Ham, I mean, they didn't have a shot on target in the first half. Mind you, the one shot that they did have, they only had one shot, and that hit the crossbar. Bowen hit it three times. So they can feel like they should have maybe gotten a goal or something, but on the flow of the game, the win and the dominance, Chelsea 100% deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, when you were watching, what was it that stood out for you? What thing did you notice in the game that, that you just couldn't stop noticing, really? What was the
ease in keeping possession? They pressed us, like, at times, but most of that pressing wasn't very good, but we moved the ball around, kept the ball with such ease. I mean, at one point we had a pass in the section that we had like 70 passes in a row. And everything.
Really? Is that a stat? Like, wow.
I don't know that's a specific stat. I was hearing the commentator talking about sort of going, this must be 50 by now. And then it continued. So it must be 70 by now or something.
Yeah, there definitely was. I was watching the game on stream and I heard the Chelsea players were like doing the, hey, like for, cause when we were passing the ball around and just not giving it away. I lost how long we had the ball for, but yeah.
And that's something that at times we did earlier in the season, at times a bit the passing erratic, any kind of pressure, people would fall apart and everything. And yeah, we just kept that ball with such ease and then prodded. If it didn't quite work, regained the ball, went a bit back, went back forward. So just the control that we had on the game, stood out for me quite
heavily. What do you think made the difference in terms of keeping possession?
I mean, definitely, I think this system, I mean, Cucurella moving around everywhere on that pitch was sort of at times surreal to see, you know, at times he's left back, at times he's at the right wing spot. But I think that helped, I think, a calmness to the player as well. It just didn't look nervous or erratic or something. They kind of just were calm on the ball. And yeah, if it didn't quite work, they'd move it a bit around. But yeah, it's a calmness, I think, alongside the system. Course, but a calmness on the players that they weren't trying to force a situation. They just did what was best for that moment and tried to control it all.
Yeah, good points. Good points there. Like, I just want to bring Frank in because I brought Frank up. Like, first, just what are your initial thoughts on the game? And we'll bring you back, BTNT. But Frank, what are your kind of initial thoughts on the game?
Hey, hey, what's up, guys? Well, just like BTNT said, just like you said, just amazing, man. I mean, I was a, someone said it in the, like, I think in the commentator, I was watching the US, he's saying, like, it's been a while since Stamford Bridge has been, like, this alive. It was just entertaining to watch Chelsea just dominating the game, from, like, the first minute till the 90th minute. We've seen them, like, dominating games this earlier in the season, but they did not consistently do that throughout the game. And then looking at them, and just like until the last, you know, until the last whistle, you could see Chelsea just in control. They were like just not letting, like they didn't give West Ham any chance. And I do agree that West Ham had like a really poor game, but I don't think they expected Chelsea to come like them like this, just dominate. And then they gave up after that second goal from Gallagher. But you know, speaking of like all these players that are all of a sudden coming back and performing that were being criticized harshly, not long ago. I think the key here is after that Arsenal game, after being hammered by Arsenal 5-0, you'd think with this young squad, the season's over. Like, they're not going to recover from that. And kudos to Poch, who we've, you know, criticized a lot this season, and rightfully so, to be honest with you. But to get this squad back so quickly with three consecutive games, just, you know, even against Aston Villa, that should have been a win, you know, because they controlled that game. Just to have this young squad to come back and all of a sudden, if you look like at that Arsenal game, it looks like it was like 6 months ago, not like a few weeks ago. And I think that's impressive from Poch to get this young squad playing together with this cohesiveness and then just, you know, hammer teams. You know, that's good to see from, it's going to be good for the confidence of a lot of players. You could see Nuno Madueke, he's like a completely new player. We criticize him against Arsenal for not tracking back. You see him in the next three games, he's a different, completely different player. He's trying to prove something, and that's good, you know. It's good from the manager to challenge his young players, like, go show me what you got, you know. So, overall, I mean, I truly enjoyed the game. I hope they continue like this. Another clean sheet, that's positive. And I hope they keep going like this, and, you know, I truly believe they can finish that sixth, you know. And call me crazy with the way Tottenham Hotspur is playing and with their schedule. I wouldn't be surprised if we even get even that close to it. But overall, great game. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, I mean, what was it you think made the difference to us today in terms of dominating the game? Like, what specific thing do you think made that happen?
I think it's the system. I think you mentioned why Poch waited this long to have them play this way. And I have a theory. Still, I would criticize Poch for taking this long, but I think Poch was waiting for them. Maybe he did not want this young squad to throw him away there with the, like this style of play and then fail and then just completely, you know, abandon the system. But I think the system is just he changed the what we've all been asking for. He changed the tactics and it's working, yeah. You know, inverting Kokoria into the middle. He's been a different player. He's been a different beast. You know, the defense has been better. Like, the structure of the team playing as a whole has been better. And I've been seeing a lot in online people calling out Enzo. If Enzo was there, he would have been, like, giving you all these amazing balls right now. Stop calling out this player. He's amazing. If Enzo and Fernandez was in this system, back in this system, you would see him getting a lot of assists. So it was not just because, Enzo is not on the team anymore. No, it's because the Poch changed the system. He's not anymore putting like Caicedo and Enzo all the way with, you know, in a together where both of them like to go forward and then away from each other. That was not working. You can see even Gallagher playing better tactically, which people criticized him like saying, absolutely. Oh, you know, Gallagher is not good tactically, but look at him. He's a different player. So I think what we've been asking for from Poch is like just change tactics and it's working.
Yeah, I mean, I actually just seen a stat. Since Pochettino moved back to his pre-season tactics, you know, the inverted stuff, the structural stuff that we've been seeing the last few games, it's Chelsea 9, opponents 0 in 230 minutes of football.
Crazy. Like,
I mean, not conceded a goal playing this system at all. We were 2-0 down at half-time to Villa. And we changed it at half time, and then we scored two goals. Three, I think we won that game, really. VAR messed us up. But so we scored two goals and, you know, won that half 2-0. And then we beat Spurs 2-0, and now we've won 5-0. So, you know, I think this might be a consistent thing. You know, if we can keep playing like this till the end of the season, I think we'll win all our games. I think this was like West Ham to me looked one of the toughest games we had left. and we've just battered them, you know. I can't see us losing playing this way at the moment. Like, it's, you know, have to rely on Newcastle dropping points and Man United dropping points, and we could even finish sixth, and that would be an incredible achievement. That would be what I expected this season, actually, at the start of the season. When Nkunku got injured, I said sixth, seventh should be where we're aiming now, because I think with Nkunku fit all season, maybe we'd get fifth. Maybe even we challenge for fourth. But we've missed him all season. So yeah.
Also, to add to what, I mean, sort of what Frank was talking about, I mean, I don't agree with sort of the we're better because Enzo's out. But I do think it throws questions in terms of, with all our players fit, what exactly is the formation we're going to go for, the lineup and everything we're going to go for? Because we've seen like Gilchrist and Chalobah play with sort of that right back spot the last few games, it reverting into a back three, Cucurella going into the middle. It would just be interesting to see then, okay, well, if Gusto's fit, how does this formation look? Are we going to continue it like in this manner? It's just that interesting thing. If everybody's available, where does everybody actually slot in? Then that's sort of one of those questions. Like, as I don't think Enzo not playing means we're better, but I'm not sure he'd necessarily 100% fit the system. I'm not sure Gusto does 100% fit this system, despite the fact I rate both players. So I was just wondering about you guys' opinion on that.
Yeah. Frank, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. To be honest with you, if I'm coach right now, I would just keep this least play. Even I think Gusto is not going to be starting anytime soon just because he's coming back from injury. But I think for the next season, let's say, I think Reece James would fit this system perfectly. I think that's why, you know, that's why I was saying that maybe Poch did not trust his players, or he did not want them to put him under pressure of playing under this system, because if it failed in the beginning of the season, the players would have, you know, not trusted this system. So maybe all these injuries, again, going back of why Poch just abandoned his tactics, maybe obviously the injuries is going to be a factor. You just have to question, was it necessary to completely abandon them? But I think to go back to your question, I do believe truly that Reece James, that system is built for someone like Reece James playing on the right side. I think Gusto would be, you know, just like we all expected when he came from Lyon, right? If James becomes fit, I know people have been throwing, you know, then it's a dilemma, right? Because he's been so good this season, but I believe a fully fit Reece James, he's just, nobody can top him at right back. So,
I agree with Reece James. Like, Reece James is, when fully fit, the best right back in the world, in my opinion. And
I actually think Reece James could play that inverted role that Cucurella plays. He's really, I mean, he's played central midfield before, right? And he's got player of the season for Wigan, basically playing midfield most of the season. He's an great all-round footballer. I think, like, and also if he's not bombing on all the time, he's less likely to get injured. So there's every chance he could play that inverted role. I think he could do it. Well, I think he'd probably do it even better than Cucurella's doing it, but Cucurella's doing it very, very well, I've got to say. We're bringing up the great Louis Benavente, who's been at the game. So we're going to get his views. So thanks. I'm going to keep Frank up here just because he's not been here as long as BATNT. But, once Louis's up here, we can get him talking, but he's not. Something's gone wrong there. I'm going to request him again. Blooming technology. So who was your man of the match? Frank, who was your man of the match today?
Personally, I think Nuno Madueke, just because not only his performance from last game, but this game he was so positive. Every time he got the ball, he always looked into like either like going forward or just passing it on. If he didn't, like, you could see him a lot of time. Frustration with Madueke was he tried to do everything by himself and not playing the ball around, and, you know, not being a team player. That was like the criticism against him. But I think in the last few games, especially today, he was a team player, you know, like he was creating balls. He was like taking, I think he literally like, I feel sorry for Palmieri because he's a former Chelsea player, but I think one-on-one he destroyed him every time. And I think he's so positive every time he went forward. His passings were amazing. Obviously, you always gotta, you know, mention Cole Palmer. He's just superstar. But I think for me personally, if I would choose someone, it would be Madueke.
Yeah, that's probably my view as well. I thought he was excellent today. It's probably his best game for Chelsea. Because he had the work ethic. He had the creativity. He scored a great goal. He looked dangerous. And also I was really impressed actually with that assist as well. Cause I think in the past he might have just gone for goal there, but it was, and maybe it's because he'd already scored a goal. I don't know, but certainly it was very unselfish of him to pass that to Jackson, you know, for the fourth goal. Yeah. And he was just dangerous all game for me today. So yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that. Do we have Louis up? He was up a minute ago. Oh gosh, we're having technical problems getting Louis up. This is not good. But yeah, I mean, on Lenny Madueke, I wanted to talk about him. Just some of his stats, 8 goals and 3 assists in 31 games in all competitions, 5 goals and 2 assists in 20 Premier League games this season. I think he's getting better all the time. And credit to Pochettino, I think, for his development, and definitely, I think needs to be with us next season. Would you agree, Frank?
Oh, definitely. I think that's that position he got, like Madueke, was all of a sudden coming back to form. I think he should be staying, obviously, definitely. I think Mudryk, on the other hand, should be going to loan, but Madueke's point of view, I think if he continues like this and ends the season on a positive note, he earned himself to stay here next season. I just believe you need to bring some competition with him. I think maybe someone like Angelo, bring him back and see these two battle it out. It's going to be a dilemma for that position because we have Hutchinson right now, who's being amazing, which I believe is going to go on another loan. And you got Angelo, you got Madueke. I think these three players, unfortunately, I believe one of them will have to, you know, go. But we'll see how the Chelsea will handle it. But I definitely agree with you. Madueke, I think he earned himself a stay at least next season and battle it out.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. Well, okay, Louis is here. He's been at the game, so we're getting live reaction from the game. Louis, how are you feeling?
Buenas tardes, gentlemen. Yeah, I mean, professional job. I think what I like the most about this is it's Chelsea scoring a lot of goals. I mean, we've not been used to that for a little while. And, you know, in three home games, we scored a lot of goals. And not only we scored a lot of goals recently, it's been some thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly impressive and professional performances. Very, very happy with today. Also came in when you were talking about Nonny Madueke. Very impressed with him today. I think Frank made a very good point about him being a solid team player. And I think that really shows the development that's there. Cole Palmer, I'm going to try and avoid speaking about because, I mean, we already know what we think about him. He's just unbelievable. Next level. And Nico Jackson for the Golden Boot next year. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, actually, some stats for Cole Palmer. He achieved something really great today. He now has scored more Premier League goals this season than Didier Drogba scored in 8 of his 9 seasons at Chelsea in the Premier League. He equaled the record for the number of home league goals in a season, which was held jointly by Drogba and Lampard. So he's now level with them. Only 2 players have been directly involved in 30 plus goals in their debut Premier League season for Chelsea. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was the other one. Now it's Cole Palmer with 21 goals and 9 assists. He's also the 3rd player in Premier League history to register 30 plus goal contributions in a single season, age 21 or under. Like, so some pretty incredible stats there from Cole Palmer. He's really has had a great season. It's almost becoming like standard now for him to have a good game and play well, isn't it? So, absolutely. What kind of stood out for you, Lou? What kind of particular things stood out today?
I think it's just how professional it was. I think we've really struggled this season on occasions where we've scored first or, you know, there's things that have maybe gone our way to begin with. And then we've kind of started panicking where we've gone, shit, right, okay, we're in a position of control here. What do we do? Whereas I think that Spurs, Everton, today against West Ham, you know, all of those performances were just unbelievable. And I'm very, very happy with it. I think that's what it was for me. It's the intangible thing there of just mentality. You know, there's been an improvement you know, it's been great. I don't really know what much else I can add. I think it's just we've been doing. It's just so solid.
We've kept 3 clean sheets in our last 5 Premier League games. Everton, Tottenham and today, all at home. We didn't have a clean sheet for months, if you remember. We've now had 2 back to back. And that is definitely an improvement. And our defenders suddenly look good again. Like, you know, I'm going to defend my man, Badia Shear, who I always defended. He had a good game today. I thought he was excellent. In the first half, actually, I've got some stats for Badia Shear. He registered more successful passes and more successful interceptions than any other player for either Chelsea or West Ham in that first half. I thought he showed what he showed last season in the last few games. Which is good. It's good to see. I was a bit worried about him because he looked like he was regressing a bit, but the last 3 games he's been excellent, I think, Badia Shear. And deserves his starting place at the moment, I think.
Absolutely. I think it is very much a case of if it's not broken, don't fix it. And that back line is not broken. I mean, look, I appreciate that Gusto has been fantastic this season, stepped up. I appreciate that Reece James may be coming back to full fitness. But at this point, I think I just want to avoid them being out for longer periods of potentially pre-season and the beginning of next season. I just want us to wrap these guys that are injured in cotton wool. There was a point where Nkunku missed the ball and I thought he twinged his hamstring and that made me panic. So I was kind of there a bit like, can we just like wrap all these players that we got coming back of really good quality in cotton wool, allow them to sort of get back in the flow of things, relax, put their feet up and push forward when they're ready rather than throw them in, especially when it was 4-0. I was a bit like, do we really want to take that risk? But you know, I am naturally quite defensive. So, you know, I appreciate him bringing Nkunku on. It was good to see him. And hopefully we're not going to get a report before our next game where he goes, I am injured. That is going to be a bit of a worry if that's the case.
Yeah, 100%. I think we don't want to have another. And Christopher Nkunku is undergoing his rehabilitation program thing, do we? Absolutely. I'm agree. I don't think when we're playing this well and we're getting results consistently, which we're starting to do, there's no need to rush them back. Like you can, you know, ease them in, you know, you don't need to even bring them on really. Like, and I'm glad he didn't bring Levi Colwill on today because, you know, no need to bring him back today because we were winning 5-0. We don't need to risk him getting injured. And he brought Cassidy on. Cassidy quietly, he's come off the bench in the last 3 games and he's actually done pretty well in all of them, I think. His height as well is really useful. He's quite powerful. He wins a lot of headers. He keeps possession quite well. You saw him today, Louis. What were your thoughts on him when he came off the bench today?
Yeah, I mean, he was brought on in the later stages, obviously, in the Sarri-esque Ross Barkley / Kovacic substitution with Mikhailo Mudryk. Again, I think just watching him, I don't think I've seen enough of him today to sort of say, I was amazing, he was this, he was that. I think the one thing which we've struggled with at some points this season, and we struggled with a lot last season, and he's been doing every game he's played after coming back from a really good loan spell at Leicester, which was probably cut short. In fact, I think it was definitely cut short. He's done the bare minimum. He's done the basics well. He's stepped up into certain places. He's done what we need him to do. I mean, you can't ask much more than that for a young lad just to step in and you know, do what you need of them. Credit to him. I think that he's done what everything could be asked of him. You know, I've spoken to some guys, guys at Sky Sports Italy, spoken to guys at the FIGC about him, and they all rave about him. They all think he's a fantastic player, and they do question maybe why he's not being used more. But I'm kind of looking at it going, well, if you look at the squad in front of him, it's going to be tough for him to break in. You know, but is he a right winger? No, he's a centre mid. So, you know, we'll just have to see what happens with him. But as long as he can continue to step up, as long as he can continue to, you know, do what we need of him and potentially get a loan next season, maybe back with Leicester in the Premier League and we can see more of him as well. Just gradually progress, much like we're asking for a lot of these younger players as well. I think Omari Hutchinson, you mentioned earlier, is another good example of that. I'd like to see him on loan in the Premier League. I get he's loved Ipswich, but I think he needs a step up. I don't know if you saw Cam mention that when me and him were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, I think he goes back there on loan in the Premier League. We extend his contract, hopefully. I mean, he's been brilliant this season, Hutchinson, honestly.
This is it. But yeah, but these are examples of players which we need to see, you know, just give their time. They're looking solid. They're doing the job. I mean, that's all we can ask. Just as long as they continue, see what they need to do, continue to develop, and things to look good. No complaints from me. Just give them the breathing room. They aren't the ones that, you know, are there to be shot at, really. They're not the first team players who, you know, if they don't deliver you when you expect them to, that can really be called out for it. Just let them do their thing. Let them develop. And they'll get there. I'm sure they will.
And Frank, he had your hand up. What was it you wanted to say?
Yeah, so just what BTNT actually asked a good question. Just curious what Louis thinks also. If Chelsea comes back with full squad all fit next season, where do you think everything fits in? Where do you think, like, obviously if Nkunku comes in, that he's probably going to be that number 10 position, probably pushing Palmer at the right. That's leaving Madueke off. Just curious, and that's not just the attack in every position. Just curious, because it's going to be a big dilemma. I think it's a good dilemma for Poch to have if he stays in next season or any other manager that comes in. But if fully fit squad, what do you guys think of who's going to be there? Who's going to be starting? What kind of, you know, shape is going to be? And I'm just going to be going and listening to you guys because I'm here at the gym. So I'll be just listening to you guys. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Frank. Yeah.
I mean, for me, I don't think Jax is an out-and-out centre-forward. I think he's always looked better coming in from the left. So I'd maybe shift him out there, bring in a centre-forward. You'd see Palmer on the right and Nkunku in the 10. I mean, Gallagher and Caicedo are proven to be doing wonders in the pivot. And, you know, if Gallagher's still here next season, I get we've got Enzo Fernandez. I get he's a fantastic player, but, you know, he's not shown this year why he should be starting. And realistically, you know, sorry, Enzo, but, you know, these lads are doing the business where, you know, maybe you weren't as much this year. So, you know, as much as we all know he's a good player, he's got to earn his place back. So for me, I'd be looking at Gallagher and Caicedo the pivot. I think it's a really good balance. Left back, well, I mean, it depends. If we continue with this inverted fashion, I mean, Cucurella probably keeps his place because I don't think Ben Chilwell's that sort of player. So, you know, that'd be interesting to see what happens there.
One interesting thing about Ben Chilwell is he's got less time left on his contract. So if you sell him, you're more likely to make a profit from Ben Chilwell than you are Cucurella, right?
This is it.
I'm a massive fan of Ben Chilwell, don't get me wrong. I love Ben Chilwell to death. But Cucurella is playing really well right now.
I
wouldn't be selling him at the moment, the way he's playing. Like, he looks like the player that we bought now, the money that they paid the money for. Right? He was one of the things I had Dan to talk about was Mark Cucurella. So this is a nice segue. I think he's been excellent the last 2-3 games. I've been really impressed with him. Like, I was one of the people that kind of didn't really rate him and thought he was, you know, kind of written him off a bit, but I thought he was excellent today. I've been really impressed with him. Hold my hands up. Absolutely. Hold my hands up for that. You know, he's been really great. And yeah, I know you've been impressed with him recently as well, haven't you, Louis?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think it is, again, very much a case of doing the basics well. That's all we really want to be before we go any further. And he's been doing that. Obviously, people say, but you paid £60 million for him. Yeah, well, it's not his fault that he's paid £60 million for him. All right. He's come into the side when we've asked him to step up on various occasions this season, and he's done it. I think there's been a couple of games where, you know, we've seen him launch himself into a tackle when realistically he probably shouldn't be doing it. Right. And I think that's kind of maybe why we've adjusted the shape into this, you know, inverted left back stuff with him coming into midfield. And, you know, he pops the ball about well. So, you know, like if you're playing well, there's, I guess, the argument of, well, maybe you could sell him. Maybe you could get more money for him. But like you said, I mean, you know, Ben Chilwell's been very injury prone for a long time. I love him to bits. I think when it comes to combinations, if you're looking at wing backs when they're playing together, I don't think there are many better than Chilwell and James. But at the same time, you know, you've just got to adjust it and see what happens. Look, Cucurella played well. The team played well today. And, you know, long may it continue. I'm off to the pub to go and celebrate that 5-0 win, probably with 5 tequila slammers, because, you know, being on a cup means that you can't have beers.
Absolutely celebrate today. Absolutely deserve to celebrate today. That's two really good performances and two wins in a row in 1 week. I mean, we're not used to that this season from Chelsea. You know, it's very, very nice to be celebrating two wins in a row. I'm trying to find some stats on Cucurella. I'll get back to you when I find them. But what are your thoughts on Cucurella, Frank? Oh, no, he's not there. Everyone's gone. It's just me. All right. I'm going to see if anyone else wants to come up. Who else is up here? Who else wants to speak? BT&T's back. Yes. We'll see if we can get him back. But yeah, I mean, Cucurella, I mean, I think a lot of people, I mean, including me, wrote him off. He was somebody that I kind of written off, but the last few games in that inverted role, he's been excellent, and I've been really impressed with him. And he's always had a good attitude. He's always been a good professional for me, a good guy, who does his best and has, you know, never doubted his professionalism. But he's starting to bring in the performances now, with that. BTNT, you're up here. Like, what are your thoughts on Cucurella?
I mean, I definitely sort of agree with you. I think when he first arrived at a club, he arrived also at a club quite a bit in transition and everything. It was very chaotic when he first arrived. So I don't think that helped his initial integration. But definitely, like, as soon with this inverted role, he's been phenomenal in the last several games. One of our best players. So if we keep that shape, that form, having the left backs do that, then, yeah, you have to keep him. And I agree with you. I also be like Chilwell. His injuries have been a massive issue, a massive pity. But if you're looking at this shape, this style, the system, Cucurella's ahead of him. And unless Chilwell can get himself to stay consistently fit, which is a big question mark,
yeah,
he'd be the next one to, he'd be the one that, on left back, I'd sell. Possibly even if he stayed fit, if we're keeping the system as well.
I mean, we'll have to see how he does to the end of the season. But yeah, there's going to be some interesting decisions to make in the summer, because you've got some players now who are playing pretty well, and you wouldn't really want to sell them. Like, and obviously Conor Gallagher has had an incredible season. I saw some stats for him. He's got 7 goals and 3 assists in his last 17 games, Conor Gallagher. He's really starting to play well. He's playing even better at the moment than he was at the start of the season, which is saying something. You know, I mean, Pochettino has improved a lot of these players. And that is actually a topic, Pochettino.
I've disliked the criticism of Conor Gallagher, because I've felt at times it's a bit too much. Oh, because he's not a flair player, we're not going to rate him or something. He's a decent finisher. I mean, that shot he took, that's more difficult than people imagine. The loop down, clean strike. He does tackle a lot, regain possession. He does start a press. Passing can improve here and there with the vision, but you can't expect him to be the perfect midfielder, can you now?
I agree. I mean, like, all this kind of nonsense that he's not a technical player. I mean, like, that goal he scored today, you've got to be a technical, you've got to have good technical ability to score a goal like that. It really was, honestly, I'm not trying to compare him to him, but it was Lampard-esque, that goal. You know, kind of running in on a ball, like making a run into the penalty area, and the ball fell for him, and it was a great finish. And he's improving all the time. We'd be absolutely mad to sell him. We'd absolutely be crazy to sell him. There's no way we should be selling him. We should be offering a new contract. He's really stepped up into that leadership role as well. I mean, obviously, Reece James is the club captain, so that will go back to him when he's fit. But, you know, he's definitely he should be part of the leadership group now, for sure. Like, him and Reece, really should be the captain and vice captain now, should be.
I mean, it's also now just at least a question over the summer, because we have quite a number of fielders, both young and slightly more experienced. what happens to who where? I mean, we're going to have Casadei is there. Andres Santos is going to come back. He was just voted player of the month for Racing Strasbourg, I believe, for April.
He was, yeah. I rate him very, very highly. I think he's got a very high ceiling.
Yeah, then we've got Gallagher, Caicedo, Enzo. You know, well, that's off the top of my head, that's five players for two positions.
Yeah, like just like Gallagher, Lavia, Enzo, Casadei, Santos.
Leslie, Ogochukwu as well.
You've got seven midfielders.
yeah, for two spots. So positions have to be made in the summer.
Three of those probably need to go on loan, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, Ogochukwu, I would definitely be loaning. Santos, probably another season at Strasbourg would probably do him a lot of good. I mean, I'd be keeping Gallagher next season. And Lavia, Gallagher, Enzo and Caicedo would be the four for that pivot position. You need to have two for every position, I think. And then you've got Carney Chokomenko as well, who will be back next season, hopefully.
But Carney, we think, is further forward.
I mean, yeah, that's right. But he's another of that. He's another midfielder. So, you know, I mean, have you got those five? You're fine, I think. Like, and then the other can go on loan and develop and, you know, and maybe, you know, then you see what happens, right? And it's going to be a tough choice because then you have to decide which of these has the higher ceiling. Right, is it Casadei? Is it Santos? Is it like Ogochukwu, or the others? Like, you know, I mean, we're not going to let go of Caicedo and Enzo. You wouldn't think all of you. We've invested too much money in them. You know, so the question is, like, do they get?
Also, for which is the development best done at the club? For which is a loan spell the best? I mean,
yeah,
Foden's development at City, for example, came from him staying, even if minutes weren't always.
He wasn't a regular starter to start with. You know, he kept him around. He didn't loan him. He played him in different positions as well. He played him wide a lot of the time to start with. It was only the last couple of years he's really brought him into the centre as he's matured. Now everyone sees how good Foden is now. He's a top player, right? So. Good example there. Like, we've got to be patient with some of these players because some of them are quite young, and we're not going to see the best of them yet. But they are improving. I mean, there's definitely improvement in our squad this season. There's no doubt about it. And that brings me to the actual next question. I think will probably be the last question because of the time. But Pochettino, Mauricio Pochettino. There's been like questions over his future. For weeks, months now, right? There's been things that the owners aren't talking to him, or that he's not hearing from the sporting directors, or you know that he's falling out with the sporting directors, or you know, it's not good. You know, we don't know how true that is, but certainly he's doing a really good job at the moment. I don't know what I'd love to see the Premier League table since Christmas. We were sixth in the form table in the last six games after our last game, and we were. Like, I think we were just behind Aston Villa in the form table. Aston Villa have lost today, so we're probably fourth in the form table since Christmas. Like, in the last, 18, 19 games. That is pretty impressive. You know, we've lost, three league games since Christmas, is it? Three league games since Christmas, I think. Liverpool, Arsenal and Wolves. We're not doing too badly. And whatever your opinion on Pochettino is valid, but like I think we've improved over the season for sure, and we're ending the season very well, and it's starting to look a bit more consistent because it's been three games now we've played well, against teams that were around us or above us, all three of those games. Yeah, Aston Villa, they're top four at the moment. Spurs are in fifth, having a good season. And obviously West Ham, we're kind of around where we are. So we played well against some decent teams. BTNT, what is your thoughts on Pochettino right now?
I mean, as much as I also agree that the criticism of Pochettino, some of it is very much legit. And it's not been a stellar season that we've had so far, but we are improving. These last few games have, under this system, have shown how good we can be potentially. Now, we'll wait to see again against can we keep this up for the rest of the season? I mean, I'm erring on the side of keeping it. Not out of sort of blind conviction that he'll be fantastic for us, but also because I'm not 100% convinced by the rumoured other managers. And even if I think some of them are possibly better tactically, I'm not sure they'd fit this squad. And, you know, developing young players, you know, you talk about your Contes or your Tuchels or something. I don't think the squad would fit them, even if I think they're tactically better managers. So, and I've in the past laid my thoughts there on De Zerbi, and I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it's fantastic. I don't know enough about Amorim to speak at all about him. There at one point talks about Hansi Flick or something. Again, not really something I'd look at and go, I mean, he's not that great as a club manager, I'd say. So, yeah, I'd say keep him for another season. It's also quite frankly saves us some money having to pay out another manager.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. There's some quotes come out from David Ornstein just now. We all know how reliable he is. He is saying that Jose Mourinho, Antonio Conte, Hansi Flick, Ruben Amorim will not be taking over at Chelsea if there's a vacancy. Right? So all those names can be written out. He says there is not a vacancy at the moment either. So, you know, he's still got his job. I've actually said that if we continue playing as we are and playing this way tactically and getting these results to the end of the season, I think there's a good argument for him to keep his job next season. Have a bit of stability. You know, we're improving. The players like Pochettino. They're all behind him by all accounts as well. Like I've been very critical of Pochettino, and I've been openly said that I'd like a change. But, you know, I'm always willing to, you know, to admit I'm wrong. And, you know, if somebody proves me wrong, I'm absolutely willing to do that. I'm not going to make an absolute judgment now because I don't want to just flip flop after a few games, but at the end of the season, I think I'm going to come to a conclusion as to what I think is the best way forward. At the moment, I'm sticking to making a change, but you know, Pochettino's doing well the last few games, so we'll see what happens.
Also, as you mentioned, the players like the manager buying into him is actually an underrated quality. We've all seen what happens at clubs when the players fall out with the manager or start hating him. It can lead to an absolute shit show, quite frankly. So that actually is something that's pretty good. I mean, there's still got to be at times tough love and everything from a manager. I'm not saying it has to all be, you know, ooh, friends or something. But yeah, the alternative at times of players disliking the manager, dressing room disharmony, arguments, it leads the team to at times completely fall apart. And it'll be devastating if something like that happened at Chelsea.
Absolutely, yeah. I think I'm actually a big fan of stability. I've always been an advocate for having a long term manager and building a team with a manager and letting him develop a team. And you know, Pochettino has done that in the past. So, we're seeing signs of progress under him. You've got to say that, and I think he deserves credit for that. Whatever your opinions on him, he deserves a lot of credit for the improvement because he's, you know, we lost that 5-0. Against Arsenal was horrible. And to lift the players after that, a bunch of young players, to get them playing in the way that we are and tactically to sort it out as he has done and get these results and performances is good management. It's good tactical management. It's good coaching and it's good man management. And he deserves credit for that. Absolutely. 100%. And yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But yeah. Good. Some good points there. But it is interesting, I think, what David Ornstein said, that some of those candidates that have been linked with Chelsea, like Hansi Flick and Amorim, will not be going to Chelsea if there's a vacancy. So that makes you think about who would go to Chelsea if there was a vacancy. So and who would be on that shortlist, because that's a very interesting perspective. And David Ornstein, we all know, is very, very reliable. So, okay, let's go back to the game. And I wanted to get to...
By the way, I think Bart had his hand up before, I think. I don't know if he still wants to speak.
Oh, yes, I just saw. We've got Mart up. Yes, absolutely. Mart, I would love to hear your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, hiya, chaps. The game was outstanding. I can't really say anything different to what anybody else has said, but really pleased with the level of control in that game. It was at no point where you had those edge of the sofa moments where you're hiding or whatever. It was just a really thoroughly professional performance. And there were two moments that really sort of stand out for me in that game. First of all, the first goal, if you watch that back again, where it starts from, it's right back with our own keeper. We force them out, moving the ball, and we make them do what we want them to do. We put them in an uncomfortable position. We overlap to the right and we end up with a goal. And the second one is the final goal. I was so pleased with that with Jackson. You know, we've seen him before fall over himself, get himself offside, miss from 4 yards. As soon as he went through, he just looked like he was going to score. And I thought that was outstanding. Just going back, can I just go back a step onto Poch? Just, you know, we're talking about whether they replace Poch. I think the board are under real pressure here, because if Poch goes the next 3, 4, 5 games unbeaten, you know, bearing in mind United and Newcastle both got to play each other, if we end up in that sort of sixth position, which is perfectly possible given how we're playing at the moment, we've got a cup final and a semi, unlucky in both. The team are playing well, the players coming back, you know, the board could be putting themselves under pressure by removing a manager who's now starting to make progress. And I know he's not everyone's cup of tea. We've had some horrendous moments this year. There's been more horrendous moments than good moments. But I genuinely think this is a real key moment for our club and how we look at next season. At the minute, I don't see why we would change him. I think he's heading in the right direction. I think he's got Madueke playing. You know, we saw that last week. I don't know if you saw after the game, he's practically kissing him in the centre circle. He's hugging him. He's got into the players and he's starting to get a tune out of them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can't disagree, really. You know, as much as I've criticised him and for a lot of things, and those criticisms are valid, you know, you've got to say he's the last few games, he's really turning it around. And I mean, if he finishes, I'll say it now, if we finish sixth, then he deserves to keep his job, 100%. That was my expectation. When Nkunku got injured, I said, like, you know, sixth, seventh is what we can realistically aim for this season. And a cup run. And he's done the cup run. We didn't win it, but we still got a cup run, two cup runs. And if we finish sixth as well, then, and we've actually shown signs of progress as well, which is the other thing that I wanted, then I can't argue with him staying. I mean, I will back him, you know. Some people have just got this agenda. It's like Poch out, whatever he does. And I don't agree with that. I never agree with that. I think you've got to support your opinions with evidence, right? And if evidence proves you wrong, you've got to admit you're wrong. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I just want what's best for Chelsea Football Club. And I think most Chelsea fans just want what's best for the club, and they want to see Chelsea winning and they want to see Chelsea playing well. And if Pochettino has got us winning and playing well and we look well organised tactically we have the last three games, then I think people will support him. But yeah, we'll see what happens. It's interesting to get people's views, because a lot of people, I think, are now beginning to support Pochettino because they can see what he's doing. And they can see what's going on the pitch. Also,
it's been known that he's taken, like, when at Southampton and at Spurs, he always took a season to get the team going. None of those seasons were as bad as ours have been at times, this. But nevertheless, you know, taking a season to get a team going is something that is on par with what he's done in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised if next season was quite a bit better, even.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, with the right players next season, the right signings, and then injured players back next season as well, and the experience that this squad now has, I think whoever is manager next season, we will finish higher than this season. I think there's a good chance we can get top four next season, 100%. And, you know, that's what I would be expecting, really. Fourth place next year, maybe win a trophy. And, you know, if we're in Europe, whatever, if we're in the Europa League or in the Conference League, we should be trying to win that. You know, we've got a good record in the Europa League. We've played in it twice and we've won it twice. So I think we've only lost two games in the whole competition in all the time we've played in it. So we've got a good record in that competition. And that's probably a good competition to, you know, introduce these guys to Europe with. You know, it's not the intensity, like the level of the Champions League. But it's good. It's a good experience of playing in Europe for this young squad. So, and the Conference League will be the same. So, yeah, If that happens, then you know you've got to say that Pochettino is going to deserve to stay. And to be honest, the stadium today looks really positive. The atmosphere looks really good. The fans look behind the team. And that's what you need. Like, if that's happening in the stadium, that's all you need, you know, and that will make it a lot easier for Pochettino and a lot easier for the players, and he'll get the support. Chelsea fans just want their team to win, right? That's what they want. They want the team to win. They want them to play well, and they want to do it consistently. And if a manager is doing that, especially after the last, you know, 2 years and what it's been like, I think they'll get behind him eventually.
Do you think to do that, that felt like an old school Chelsea performance? It just felt like we're a better side here. We're going to win today.
Yeah, no, it did. When I was watching us today, I felt confident. I felt like I had confidence in the team. I wasn't nervous about us conceding goals, actually, which is like unusual for this team, because I haven't, like, often with this team, you know that we've conceded a ton of goals this season. But today we looked in control of the game from start to finish. We didn't look panicking. We didn't look nervous. We didn't look complacent. It looked like we've learned from our mistakes, honestly, I think, that, like, we're like, okay, we're not going to just relax and ease off when we're 3 or 4 nil up. We're going to keep going, and we're going to keep in control of this game. We're not going to let West Ham come back into it. And we didn't. We didn't gift West Ham anything. Like, we didn't make it easy for them. They had a few chances. Mohamed Kudus played really well, I thought, actually, for West Ham. He was their most dangerous player. But other than that, really, I thought we were in control. And that's good.
It's possible to get the ball off. Mm. Think to yourself,
I think you're cutting out a bit there, Mark, or whoever's speaking.
I think it was BNT. I think he's right, though. I think I got the gist of it. They just couldn't get the ball off us, which was spot on. It's why you want it, isn't it? We're at home. We should have the ball. And you're right. We didn't, like, you know, United let them back in. There was none of that nonsense of giving a goal away or a chance. Yeah, Bowen can hit the bar as many times as he likes. It doesn't matter. We were in control. We played really well.
Yeah, and I mean, James Ward-Prowse had that free kick, and, you know, Petrovic was up to it and he saved it. So, because you know that James Ward-Prowse is going to have a shot on target from a free kick because he's so good at free kicks. But Petrovic, you know, he dealt with it. That's his job, right? He dealt with it. They didn't score from that. So,
what Mark was saying, actually, that wasn't what I was saying, but I agree with him. What I was saying was, it's impossible to get the ball off Kudus.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
It took 3 players to get the ball off him at times. It was just ridiculous. Yeah, like, it was impossible for them to get the ball off Chelsea, but that was due to our passing.
He's an excellent player, Kudus. I think, you know, they've got a good player there. And under a better manager, well, I don't know, David Woods is a good manager, but under a different manager that plays a different kind of football, I think he will do very well for West Ham. He's an excellent footballer. And he looked at today. It was very difficult to get the ball off him, like you say. And he was their biggest attacking threat, without any doubt. And you know, but we kept a clean sheet, and that's a really positive thing. 2 clean sheets in a row. Hopefully, we can keep that going. In terms of the other results, Brighton beat Aston Villa, and Liverpool are currently winning against Spurs 1-0. That's the other results today. So Spurs are absolutely bottling top 4, which is fantastic. and we played a part in that as well, which is even better. So, yeah, it's been a good weekend for Chelsea so far. And hopefully we can get Crystal Palace to beat Man United tomorrow, and that'll help as well. So, yeah, it's been a fantastic weekend. So just, we're coming to the end now, but some final thoughts. Like, what was your kind of overall sum up of the game, Mark?
To sum it up, as thoroughly professional and exactly what Chelsea should be doing at home. You know, we are, you know, with everybody fit and the players coming back, we are a really good side. You know, and the media love to have a pop because of all the money that's been spent and the lot. But, you know, that was a really good performance today. And if that had been a Liverpool or an Arsenal, they'd be raving about it. So, yeah, good job, boys, today. Really happy. And, yeah, well done, lads. It's really good. Really happy with that.
BTNT, your kind of final summary.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better. Mark summarised that perfectly. Professional, great performance all around. Barely anything I could really point out to be a negative. Yeah, just delighted with the result.
great performance. Long may it continue. And come on, Crystal Palace.
Absolutely, absolutely. So thank you both. Yeah, so this has been Final Score with the Score. Make sure you check out the Chelsea Sideline Club as well. They produce some really great content. I just want to shout them out because we're part of that. There'll be an instant voice note with you, I think, on the Chelsea Echo Twitter stream. So take a look out for that. Give the Chelsea Echo a follow on Twitter and come on, get on the podcast platforms and give us a good review. This is a Sideline production, and so make sure you check out ChelseaSideline.club. That is a really, really good website. There's tons of great resources on there. They've just put out an interview with Joe Cole, which is excellent. They've got interviews with John Terry and other people. They're all fantastic. It's a really good website, and with some great content creators and great people on there, great material, video and audio stuff and written stuff. So do check that out. Give Chelsea Sideline Club a follow on Twitter. Give the Chelsea Echo a follow on Twitter as well. We'll be back with the next game. I think that's Brighton, am I correct? In Brighton away next week. Brighton have won today, so they're back in form again. But I'm pretty confident, actually, at the moment, of Chelsea beating whoever we're playing. So, yes, thanks for listening, everybody. Really appreciate everyone who's contributed. Thanks, BTNT and Mark and Frank and Louis and everyone else. And thanks, everyone else, for listening. And thanks, everyone, for being part of this. It's been a really good day for Chelsea. And thanks for listening, everyone. And up the Chelsea!